Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Maz, you want to follow up on that defunding the police thing?
Yeah, I just think that you know, the idea of, and I understand, you know, what you're saying, too, in terms of the reform, clearly. But, you know, the idea that, or the extremes that some people are taking this to me, are scary. You know, the fact is that a large matter, you know, a large number of police are social servants, Mike. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And you never want to make a judgment on an entire body based on the reactions or actions of a few. And so to me, that starts delving into the area that's just a little scary.
It's just... I mean, the headline, the title, what they're called, defunding the police, is a political loser. Just be smart about it. Okay, you can't call it that and expect to win elections. You can't. Don't call it that. Call it something else. But the whole broader point of demonizing the police now, like all of a sudden there's no good cop. You can't have a good cop narrative.
So this is the part I don't like.
It's disgusting. Like, come on, please. Don't take this too far. The farther you take it, the worse off it's going to be for you. Trust me on this. Trust me.
It just feels like, you know, again, the there's an overreaction, and I'm not suggesting that. You know, look, the case of George Floyd was horrendous, horrific, frankly. But you know, there wasn't a time not too long ago where the New York Police Department, in the midst of 9/11, we don't want to go too far in either direction, really. But it is, I just sometimes worry that the reactions are too extreme because it penalizes an entire group for the actions.
Oh, this has gotten goofy. This has gotten goofy. The vast,
it's reached a point. It's I'm trying to pick my words carefully.
Spit it out.
No, because you reach the point where you get afraid to say anything.
Yeah, I know.
You reach a point where you're afraid to say anything.
That's
because
nice
it's going to come out
in
the wrong way, and someone's going to accuse you of being something that you're not. But the fact is that most police officers are doing as a social service. And so, you know, to start to really hamper police is not the right answer either.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
The vast
majority of police officers are doing the right thing with their heart in the right place. The vast majority is. Are there some bad cops and some racist cops? Yep. And are there more of those maybe than we, white America, gave credit to? Yep. Probably that too. But the institution itself? Oh, please. Come on. Come on now. Let's keep it on planet Earth. The cops there are generally to serve and protect. And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm white, but I think the overwhelming majority have their heart in that place. And if you start to promote the other thing, if you try and kill the good cop narrative and you try to defund the police, you will get crushed in elections, crushed. So just be careful with it. Let's reform it. Let's go after the people that need to be reformed, make the changes that need to be changed. And, you know, I was just, again, heartened that Biden gets it. You know, he does not support defunding the police. Call it something else at the very least. Meanwhile, here's one thing I think the left does have right, and I think it's about time that this came into being. I wanted to hit on this too. The Confederate flag business, NASCAR banning the Confederate flag. It's about time. It's about time. That symbol to me, oh my God.
There's nothing ambiguous about it.
Oh. Yeah, I'm with Marie on this one. It's pretty clear that what that flag represents and what time in history the Confederate flag represents and what it stands for.
And it's why I still refer to parts of New Hampshire, unfortunately, as the deep south of the north, because you can go around certain parts of that state and you can still see it flying high on people's property. And it's like, what the hell are we doing?
Gross. Oh, it's gross. And I'm not telling you it should be illegal. It can't be illegal. There's still freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And just like burning the flag, you know, is legal in some respects, that you should be able to fly. I mean, I'm not telling you it should be illegal. I'm telling you it should be socially unacceptable. It should be socially unacceptable. And the fact that it's socially acceptable in parts of our country is freaking gross. It is gross. That flag means one thing and one thing only. It means either you're a racist or you don't mind being considered a racist. Pick one or the other. You either are or you don't mind if everyone thinks you are. And the fact that that was flying, you know, all this time at NASCAR events, oh, that is, never mind the amount of places that it appears in state flags or state capitals or, you know, institutions, Old Miss, you know, there's just a million examples. Walpole, Old Miss, like, I felt this way for a long time about that one. And I don't use this analogy often because I think it's used unfairly too often. But I think it applies on this case. I do. It's not socially acceptable to fly the swastika. It's just not. It's not socially acceptable. Is it legal in some cases? Yes. Is it socially acceptable? It is not. It is not socially acceptable. And I think the Confederate flag is in that neighborhood.
No, I'd agree. That's how I was raised. Like, you see that, you should be repulsed. And that's, I think, most people that were brought up, you know, correctly and that use and apply common sense look at that and think that the two are akin. Like, they are. I don't think that's saying anything, you know,
crazy. So that is not PC politics run amok.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol? Okay. Defunding the police. Paw Patrol. Lego? Copland? Like, this is getting stupid, guys. Like, let's not do that. But the Confederate flag, you're on firm ground. And I would extend that to Confederate monuments. I would extend that to military bases named after Confederate generals. They lost the war. They lost the war and they stood for the wrong thing. They're not allowed to represent us. They shouldn't represent us. They shouldn't represent you. We shouldn't be in a country where the values of the Old South are meant to represent us. Ooh, that should not be socially acceptable. It should not be socially acceptable to fly that flag. No more than it's socially acceptable to fly the swastika. And I think it's you know, generally the same, in the same ballpark anyway. And so good for NASCAR. Boy, can you believe it took that long for NASCAR?
Well,
it took this,
considering it's NASCAR and where their bread is buttered. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Mike, the reality is that all of this has taken too long, right? All of it has taken too long. And so, I mean, you know, now I think we all hope there's a heightened level of awareness as to what the real level of urgency is with regard to the problem. And maybe people are now going to act, though I have my doubts about people's ability to do that, too.
So the Confederate flag. How about everybody taking down, I say everybody, people taking down the Columbus statues, Mass? How do you feel about that? Christopher Columbus and that whole thing.
Well, so I'm not as well versed on this subject as I probably should be. So fill me in.
Well, you know,
people are they beheaded it. They took it down, the one in the North End, which, you know, obviously, you know, Christopher Columbus obviously means a lot to the Italian community, as you well know, Maz. They're taking the thing down.
Well, so. No, but the early explorers fought and destroyed the Native Americans. So, like, that's the rationale.
All right.
So we're going back to that one.
Yeah. So I mean,
that's a tougher one, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is tougher. And so I thought there was some connection to Columbus and African-American race that I missed.
I don't think so.
Okay, so forgive me. I didn't connect the dots there right away. So look, I mean, at some point, I think, you know, I don't know.
You don't want to say anything. I don't blame you.
Mike, it's reached the point where no matter what you say, it's wrong.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, no matter what you say, it's wrong.
Well, then go with
so
how you
I can tell you
effort.
This, that I'm generally okay. But Murray, I like my job. Okay, I like my job. And I generally in the belief that human beings should be treated like human beings. Now, unfortunately, 250, 300 years ago, it didn't happen that way. And in many cases, it's still not happening now, clearly. And so I find that kind of behavior demeaning. I find it reprehensible. I don't treat people like that. I don't. And so when these stories pop up, it infuriates me. I get sick to my stomach. I just don't know how people act that way. I don't. I don't have it in me to be that person. I don't. I really don't.
I look at
but
it this way.
But there are a lot of people out there that don't know that. And they don't know me any more than they know you or the person living next door. And so we're in a public spot, and if I say something that is out of line in someone's mind, even if it's not, because to me, oftentimes this stuff is about intent, and someone interprets it a certain way, even though my intention was nothing of the like, then ultimately you are given a label and you are ID'd as something that you never were. And so that part of it does scare the hell out of me. And that is in no defense of any of the behavior or anything else. So, you know, when you say Columbus and Native Americans, you know, do I love the idea that Columbus came over and that we took land from it? No. Also, it seems like it was something in a history book so long ago, it's hard to connect to rationally. It almost seems like you're reading fiction, and it doesn't, it's just so far removed that I don't have any real connection to it.
Right. Yes, Bez. It's a tougher one. You know, how far back do you want to go? You hear that all the time. Here's all I know. That Confederate flag, rotten.
Yeah.
Rotten to the core.
And if I may, just quickly, on the statues. And so, I mean, all of these people that have statues and monuments, like the Mount Rushmore, should we blow that up because Washington owned slaves? All of these people have extremely complicated histories. The country has a complicated history. What makes it easier for you guys that have kids to talk about that complicated history than to maybe point at that monument or statue and then explain to your kid a little bit about that?
See, I don't think the Old South is all that complicated. And I don't think that the people in the South, unfortunately, point to the point to the statue and say, well, this is complicated. No, I think they say,
oh, no, there's a sense of pride for those idiots.
Southern pride and, you know, well, what are you really saying there?
Yeah. No, there's certain, like Frank Rizzo, that statue or that a-hole in Philadelphia, that guy was a blatant racist. Like, that should come down. This is where I believe in nuance, which doesn't exist anymore, in common sense. There's ones of certain people that do deserve to come down. There's no question about that. Lee and all these Confederate generals. F them. You lost, for one. I thought we were a country that celebrated winners. That's what the president's always telling us. So take that. The one of losers. But guys like Columbus or Washington and presidents that own slaves, it's a complicated, ugly history. I think it's easier to have the conversation for your kids and future generations if you keep certain things up and say, like, yeah, like, okay, they did some good, they did some bad, we've learned from it. Is that a bad thing?
Okay, I also wanted to get to Maz. Let's take the break because
absolutely.
We got your good doctor on board. I also wanted to get to some coronavirus stuff. Excuse me if I could spit it out. And we'll do it with our doctor, Paul Sachs, right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Never. never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Let's bring in a guest of ours that we've had during this time. We've really valued his time because it's been instructive. It's unfortunate that we have to have it, that we're still what feels like in the middle of the pandemic, but be that as it may, that's where we are on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Paul Sachs, he's the lead infectious disease doctor at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's joining us now. Doctor, thanks again for taking the time. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Sachs.
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so here's my lead question. It feels like the second wave has already started to occur, and it's occurred in places like, it feels like Arizona is particularly bad, Texas, North Carolina, California, Florida. Feels like more southern states or warm weather states is really what I mean to say. How do you read that? What do you think that's about?
Well, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the second wave that we were concerned about. It's really, for them, the first wave. These are parts of the country that really didn't have much COVID when we were having quite a bit here in Boston or in New York or other large cities in the Northeast. So they're really now kind of starting to see what we saw earlier, and that's how I would interpret this.
Okay, so not a reaction. A lot of people say, well, you know, the protests and all those people in the streets and the mass gatherings. I don't know if it really existed in those places like it has in the big Northeast cities, or them, those governments, some of them have opened up. They opened up their economies before everybody else. You don't think that either of those are a factor?
No, I think the opening up of the economies could be a factor. It's still a little early for the protests, but remember, they closed down the economy, didn't have the kind of spikes that we did at that time, and then opened up and maybe do not have in place the mindset, the social distancing mindset, the contact tracing strategies that are really necessary to keep this thing under control.
So one more follow-up on that, though. You know, and again, talking to you and just doing all the reading, that the biggest risk remains, you know, in an enclosed environment where people are, you know, singing or shouting or, you know, projecting, if you will, and that being outdoors is a safer environment. I look at those places and see they're largely outdoor places, you know, with good weather and people are outside, and yet there's outbreaks. So,
well,
how do you read that?
I mean, so I would agree scientifically that the transmission is way less likely outdoors. But remember that for southern states right now, it's actually starting to get quite hot, and their people do spend a lot of time indoors, especially in air conditioning settings that may not be well ventilated. You know, some of the worst outbreaks have been, for example, in buses or other vehicles where the air is recirculated. So even though, yes, they're outdoors more than we are when it's March in Boston, they're not necessarily outdoors more than we are currently. So indoor transmission can happen in air-conditioned settings, that's for sure.
So, Dr. Sachs, as we, you know, we're about to enter the heart of summer here. I mean, we're not that far from it. July 4th weekend now, just a few weeks away. What kinds of things realistically do you think people are going to be able to do? Beaches, pools, are these totally okay?
They're okay, provided there isn't very intense crowding. That is really outdoors that we have to avoid crowds. So people can go to the beach and certainly sit with their family or sit with a small group of friends and maintain safe distances. We say at least 6 feet. But if you're in a situation where the beaches are packed, and especially if you go into an open restaurant or up to a snack bar or something like that, and it's very, very close, then that is still a potential risk for transmission.
How about the pool water itself?
I was just going to go ahead.
Yeah, this is a respiratory viral spread, so we don't anticipate that the pool water itself would be contagious. So that's not been a mode of transmission that we've been concerned about.
Okay, so the issue with piling into a hot tub with 8 people is not that the virus is floating around in the water. It's someone breathing, spitting, sneezing on you, coughing on you, that thing.
Yes, that's the biggest concern. And then the one thing that we've learned is that there's this very brief period where people are contagious. And during that period, they're quite contagious, so that some of the activities that we would not previously have thought of as risky, just meaning having close conversations with somebody, turn out to be a way of spreading this virus if the person is in that contagious phase. So So that's what we have to avoid.
Mass?
So, Dr. Sachs, the one of the other things I wanted to ask was the World Health Organization. The other day, as you know, Anthony Fauci here in the United States sort of disagreed with the World Health Organization on a finding about asymptomatic spread of the disease and suggested that the WHO was wrong to suggest what it did for someone like me or for any of us. We see that and we say, well, wait a minute. You have one health expert saying this. You have another health expert saying that. So I guess my question is, who do we believe and why?
Well, I wanted to first defend the WHO and defend Dr. Fauci. It is actually possible within the scientific community, as hard as it may be to believe, to have people who don't say exactly the same thing. If you really carefully examine what she said that in certain studies they have not found asymptomatic spread is a major contributor to the spread of the virus. That does not mean it can't occur, and of course it can occur, and that's really what Dr. Fauci was saying. So it really was much more nuanced than it was picked up, not surprisingly, on social media or in the press. So what we do know about transmission is that there is a brief period. It lasts usually days, usually less than a week, where a person is contagious, and it starts from the period just before they develop symptoms to the period, the early phase of when they have symptoms. And there are rare people who don't have, I shouldn't say rare, there are people who have no symptoms during the entire illness and potentially could spread it. One thing she did say is that people who are sick with this are more likely to spread it than people who are not sick with it. And that has been established in several studies.
Okay, so is it still too early to tell on this stuff, Doctor, in some cases? And, you know, like the immunity is a big one, too. Does the immunity give you, or I'm sorry, the antibodies. Does the antibodies give you immunity? Can you not spread it if you have the antibody? Do we just not know yet? And also with the level of contagiousness, you know, it, as it relates to whether you are symptomatic or not, is the answer we don't know still on a lot of this stuff?
We don't know with certainty, but we're starting to get a better picture. It does appear from animal models that there is immunity when people who develop antibodies, and we've now found something called neutralizing antibodies in several people who've recovered from COVID. So it makes me optimistic that people who develop antibodies will be at least partially immune. For how long, we don't know. But it also makes me optimistic that generation of an immune response with a vaccine will be successful, too. So we're getting there. We don't know everything, certainly, but we know more than we did a couple of months ago.
Okay. Another theme that we've hit on with you in the past. Again, this is Dr. Paul Sachs. He is the director of infectious diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and that is the model of Sweden. And I know you told me a couple of weeks ago or last month that Sweden's a bad comp for the U.S. for a multitude of reasons, but still be that as it may, you know, a lot of people look to Sweden because they took a different approach than much of the Western world. They were not quite as tight with their lockdowns as we were. Now, in the last week or two, their lead infectious disease official said they made mistakes and would do it differently if they could do it again. So what's your read on what happened in Sweden?
Well, Sweden ended up having fairly high mortality rates for COVID, not as high as some of the really worst hit countries like Spain, but still much higher than their neighboring countries. And what they were hoping was that their population would develop immunity much faster, that there would be herd immunity. But what has been shown is that despite having a kind of more open business, more open society, they ended up not developing as much herd immunity as they had hoped. So what they're doing, therefore, is they're experiencing what we were really concerned about, which is that the elderly and the vulnerable people were the people predominantly getting sick and dying, and now their excess death rates are held up as a mistake. It is perhaps too soon to say that everything they're doing is wrong. One thing that I'm hoping they'll do is very aggressively do contact tracing and also try to shut down the super spreader events more than they have been.
Okay, I just want to backtrack quickly to the increased rates in Florida. Both the NBA, MLS, and you know probably some baseball teams are headed to Florida in the next month or two to start playing ball and start playing sports. Do you worry that if the numbers get so bad in Florida or Arizona for that matter or any place that they won't be able to do those things? Do those plans become in jeopardy?
They would become in jeopardy if the medical facilities are overwhelmed. In neither of those states, even though their cases are increasing, unfortunately, do I hear that their medical systems are overwhelmed, although certain sections of Arizona are starting to send out emergency calls. I would say that that it doesn't rule it out entirely. The plans seem to be to have the players in a very sequestered area, to have a really kind of tight control over people going in and out, to have regular testing, and to maintain distance between the players. So I think it's feasible, but you're right. I mean, if things really get out of control, then it would put those plans in jeopardy.
So, and again, so it, just to this, you know, in these areas where, again, I called it a second wave, and it's interesting. You said it's really the first wave, Arizona, you know, places like this. Are you concerned? Do you look at this and go, uh-oh, you know, here it comes, or did you sort of expect this?
Well, I am concerned, and, you know, I feel the same way about certain parts of Texas. You know, when we were experiencing what we did here in Boston, we were sometimes looking to these other states and feeling very jealous that they had such low case rates. Now, one thing that's very encouraging here in Boston is the percentage of tests that are positive is way, way down. And that's actually a much more reliable picture of the current COVID situation than just case numbers, because obviously case numbers can be inflated by increased testing. The proportion of tests that are positive here is way lower. That's something we'll have to watch very closely in those states that we just mentioned. The other thing we need to watch carefully are hospitalization rates and then ultimately excessive deaths. That's another very, very important clue that there's an epidemic that's surging.
Well, you know, Doctor, at Sports Radio, we like to keep score. There's a winner and a loser, right? So, like, I'm still waiting to see. I said it at the time, you know, either we are going to be proven to be way too cautious, overly cautious, and we were in the wrong, and some of these places that opened up earlier were going to be right, or just the opposite. We were going to be proven to be the prudent ones, that in the long run, we did the right thing, and they did the wrong things. I still don't know yet, but I'm sort of keeping score of that, aren't you?
I think the way to keep score is to have the common enemy. The common enemy here is the virus, regardless of what state you're living in. So that's going to be my approach. I really hope that also we can have a very coordinated national response. So far, it's been each state sort of functioning for themselves.
Well, I mean, by the way, I was rooting for those states because if they opened early and it was safe and they could pull it off, that meant the rest of us could, and so fine. Then we lose. We were overly cautious, and that's the price of that. But at least it meant green light, you know. So I was, I'm actually pulling for Texas and those states, and I don't know. It doesn't seem to be working out for them right now, though.
Well, the virus doesn't care what state it's in. I think that's something we have to remember. And so it has a certain biology, it has a certain transmission rate, it has a certain severity, regardless of where it is. I think one of the mistakes we made at the beginning as infectious disease doctors and public health officials is that initially, back in January now, some people were saying, oh, well, it can't happen here the way it happened in China. But of course, it has happened in multiple locations. It's happened globally in multiple different countries, and it will happen in multiple different states.
Okay, doctor, unless these guys have any more questions, I know we like to wrap up your visits with a sports call because you are a baseball fan. So let's go to Paul in Mission Hill. He's up next with Felger and Maz. What do you got for us today?
Well, you're talking about this Paul here.
I mean, what I mean is, what do you want to bitch about with sports today?
Well, I was going to ask you how you feel about the prospect of a 50-game baseball schedule. I know you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm missing baseball big time. But I'm just going to say that I'm kind of hopeful that the players and the owners can get on some common ground and negotiate something that is mutually agreeable so that they can play. I mean, this is the players' livelihood, and this is the owners own these teams, and right now it's not worth much to anybody. So the hope is that they'll realize that they can come together and have a season as abbreviated as it might be.
I'm just curious, as an average fan, voice of the fan, are you more agitated with the owners or the players?
I tend to side with the players on this because they're the talent, and there is no baseball without the players, whereas the owners really kind of, who cares? Sorry.
All right, Dr. Sachs, thank you again so much for the time. It's really instructive. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, again, Dr. Paul Sachs from Brigham and Women's here on Felger and Maserati. Here's an update, and we'll come back with, sort of tied into this, some NBA players giving a little bit of pushback to the plan to head to Florida for their bubble. We'll get to that right after Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So the story that Murray's been reporting the last couple days about NBA players pushing back here at what feels like the last minute. I mean, I know it's not supposed to, you know, tip off until the end of July, but when I say last minute, I mean the NBA rolls out this very carefully considered and deliberate plan to return to play at Disney World in Orlando. And then a week later, we hear about conference calls with players who are reluctant to go down there. What do you make of all this mess?
So I think it's been there under the surface the whole time. And I think that it's one of these examples of like, you know, when it's actually time to go, all of a sudden people say, you know what, I don't want to go. And I'm not telling you it's a majority or anything of the like, but I think that there's been an undercurrent among all athletes about whether or not ultimately they really do want to play. I think some of these guys are scared, rightfully so. And so I think now you're starting to hear from them because it's actually getting closer to the time where you got to walk out the door and head back out there.
And I think it's two things. I think it's some concern over the jump in the numbers of the COVID cases in Florida. That's one. And then the other, for certain players that are very outspoken and have been part of the protests, like Jaylen Brown, Karl Anthony Towns, who's also lost his mother. I think she was only in her 50s or late 40s to coronavirus. Maybe they've taken a look around in recent weeks and said, you know what, there's things a little bit more important than going back to work right now. And my heart's not in it, so I'm going to sit this out.
So maybe. I mean, who knows? I'd be surprised, though, if there were players on real contenders who were in this group of players. So the in Portland, you keep saying again, and I keep mixing up my NBA a-hole.
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony from Portland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're the ninth seed in the West, and they're not going anywhere. So my hope, frankly, is that these are the players we're hearing from. They've been paid about 80% of their salary, right? The NBA got through 80-85% of their season, so they've made most of their money. They're not going to win a championship. They know they're not going to win a championship. And now, especially if you're Portland, you have to schlep all the way across the country. Did Lillard say he's not playing?
He did at one point. That was going back weeks ago. And again, don't forget, that team was the lone dissenter out of the 30 teams that voted for this thing, because they wanted a 20-team tournament, not 22.
Right.
So maybe it's just they know deep down their chances aren't all that great. And plus, Carmelo's a legendary pain in the ass, so you got to take this with a grain of salt.
We spent time on this the other day. I think there's a group of players who want to go for the party. They're not going to drug test. It's a golf and pot fest down there. It's like a glorified All-Star weekend. Because you've heard, or Windhorst intimated, that Kyrie and Durant want to go, even though they're not playing. So why the hell do you want to go? Well, you want to go for the same reason you go to All-Star weekend, to recruit future teammates and party. So I think there's some players who want that. But then I bet there's others who say, I made my money. We're not going anywhere. I got to play these for cocktail regular season games, never mind the 3-week training camp. Do we really have to do this? So, I would be stunned and I'd be disappointed If there were any Celtics on that list, you have a chance for a championship out of nowhere. If there were any Milwaukee Bucks on that list, any LA Lakers on that list, any LA Clippers, I think there's four teams that can win it. And you're the fourth team. So anyone other than that, like, I sort of get, like, what are we really playing for? But for those four, you got a title on the line. This is your life. So you make some sacrifices and you nut up and you go down there and you try and win a title. Like, I'd be disappointed if anyone on those teams felt that way, Murray.
Yeah, and I will caution people with a guy like Jaylen Brown, who again drove from Boston to Atlanta when, you know, the first nights that all this popped off, protest and everything that happened down there. You can't be surprised if one of these guys that, you know, feels like they now have a big voice for social activism, that if they feel, at least for right now, there's more important things on my plate and I need to be somewhere else and I'm not going to go play right now. I'm not going to be surprised by that at all. I'm really not.
I would just say to that guy, you know, your job's also important too. It defines you. Our work defines us. Your career, your craft, the things you've devoted your life to, the thing that's going to set up your family for the rest of your life. It's okay to have that a priority in your life as well. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You're not. That doesn't mean that you're downplaying the importance of your social causes because you're prioritizing your job. I think prioritizing your job's a virtue. I mean, that's what I would say to him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, and that's a rational take. But there would be others that would say, like, well, you think about the money and you don't care about lives and racist. Like,
God, right.
So you're almost better off being like, yeah, go ahead, Jaylen, do what you got to do.
Like, we'll Maz, just don't say anything.
Right.
Never miss a chance to say nothing.
I just wonder about these guys, though, that have stayed home now for a while, and I think the harder they've been home, the harder it gets, because you start getting affected by outside influences or what have you, and you start settling into new routines. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, honey, I don't want you to go back. Or, hey, have you thought about this? Or, hey, what about your dad? Or, you know, you sure you want to do this? And so I just think that there's a, you know, there's an element of humanity in all of us. And when there's something out there that is unpredictable and it's scary, that, you know, and I don't doubt, Mike, that what you're saying is true, that it's not the guys on the absolute four best teams in the league. But that next tier, if you look at it and say, you know what, we're not going to win it anyway. I don't know. Does it make sense to go back? I bet there are more big names here than we think there are.
Yeah, big names. I just hope they're not big teams. I just hope they're not on the big teams, and that those guys are looking at a championship. And this is, but it, the overall picture to me is, this is just another indication that the biggest advantage in both the NBA and NHL when they finally show up is going to be the teams that give a crap. You know, people say, does it benefit you to be young or old, experienced? In the NBA, do you want to be an inside shooting team or an outside shooting team? In the NHL, you know, what matters the most, the experience or the young legs? Or old? To me, the biggest differentiator will be give a crap meter.
Yeah, the buy-in factor, I think, is how you've referred to it as.
The buy-in, absolutely. Yeah. And I can see most of those, you know, 80% of those NBA teams showing up in Orlando like, you know, what are we?
This is too weird. No,
why are we here?
Yeah.
And we have no chance to win. So what? Yeah, so what
totally
are we doing?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that.
So I hope the Celtics are in that group of haves that think they do have a chance.
I just think that, you know, it's all well and good to say we're negotiating this, we're going to play this, we don't like that format, we don't like this. But when it comes time to actually do it. And I, you know, I apply this to the pandemic, but I think it's true of most things. When there's something out there that's a major change or it's high risk or something you've never done before, and it actually comes time to walk out that door, it's harder to do. And I wonder whether a lot of guys will go through with it. I just think that that concern has been there from the beginning.
Let's pick this up on the other side in our long commercial-free segment.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Eh, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When it comes to concerns, how big of a deal is this for the players?
Well, this is significant, Kevin, because, you know, the league needs the players to be on board with this to create a competitive environment, a good basketball product. And, you know, I think a lot in the last week, 10 days, I think it's really started to hit it home with a lot of players and coaches and members of organizations of how isolating, how restrictive this bubble environment is going to be. And there are a number of players. I was told a few dozen who have been talking. They had at least one conference call to kind of hash out some thoughts among each other. And listen, for a lot of players, there are family concerns. There are certainly concerns about COVID. There are concerns about a number of issues built around having to go inside that bubble. You know, many of them for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2.5, 3 months, especially, Kevin, you hear it more and more among the teams who know or certainly believe they're not really going there to compete to win a championship.
And that to me is the key right there. That's the fault line. Teams that know they have no shot. What's their buy-in? You know, how it should be great getting paid to play ball. So go out there and compete. You're a competitor. But human nature being what it is, schlep all the way across country, quarantine yourself for 2 months for what? For what? And so, like, I sort of get that part of it. But that's going to be the big key there, I think, for both the NBA and NHL, the buy-in from the team, from all teams. Or is there just a couple who think they have a shot and they're the ones that are going after it? And in that case, hopefully good for us, it's the Bruins and the Celtics both feel that way.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, especially when, as you pointed out, they've made most of their money. Like, you know, there's no incentive to go back. In fact, they look at it and say it's not worth it. There's more harm than good.
Well, so this is the way it is in the NHL every year, by the way. The NHL gets played in the regular season, not in the playoffs. It's why for years there was this thing about European players. You know, they wondered if the Europeans had the buy-in for the Stanley Cup like North Americans, because Europeans didn't grow up dreaming of winning the Stanley Cup. They grew up dreaming about winning Olympic medals or world championships or things like this, or the Swedish Elite League, or, you know, I mean, wherever they're from. It's not their trophy. And they're done getting paid. And so there was always that concern about that. I think the NBA, correct me if I'm wrong, don't they get paid 52 weeks a year? Like, don't they get paid like the rest of us, like every 2 weeks all year long?
I don't know.
I thought I had read that somewhere, that they have a different sort of pay schedule than other sports. So I don't know. Be that as it may.
Yeah, first and 15th each month.
For 12 months.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I think that's – is that the way it works in baseball, Matt? So they just get paid during the season?
No, just during the season.
Yes.
Yeah, first and 15th of every month starting in April.
So, and I think obviously the NBA, their payment stopped. But either way, you know, I mean, you will go back and make money. There's something to that. I would also like to think of the NBA, just finally, that a team that ordinarily would think they have no chance, you know, again, a team like Philly, a team like Denver, a team like Houston, I don't know, having to go on the road for 2-3 series in a row, you'd say no shot. No shot do we go to Toronto, Milwaukee, the Lakers, the Clippers, and win all those series. Well, now there's no home court. There's no travel. So I would like to think that the number of teams that think they have a chance and should be invested is more than usual. Usually, probably there's 2, 3, 4 at most teams that start the NBA playoffs thinking they have a chance. Now that number should be 5, 6, 7 without home court.
So the only question I have there is whether or not any of the players buy into whole asterisk thinking. In other words, this whole thing got flushed down the toilet. Like, you know, so what's the point? Well, we'll go back, and yeah, if we win a title, they still won't give a credit, give us full credit for it because of this thing. So, and I'm not telling you I think that way, but I wonder if guys do. I mean, we've had that discussion. There have to be guys out there that say, what's the point in going back?
All right, quickly, Dino in Florida on the return of sports to that state. Go ahead, Dino.
Yes, guys, just two quick comments, and then I'll be quiet and listen. First thing, the baseball players don't want to take pay cuts, while all of us normal people out here, a lot of us are taking pay cuts. I think that's pretty sad. The second thing that's even worse is the basketball players say, we'll come back and play for you as long as we can do coke, meth, heroin, marijuana, and you don't test us for it, and we'll perform for you. I mean, can you imagine Bill Russell, Larry Bird, and these guys saying, we'll come back for you as long as you don't test for drugs. I just think
I don't hold it against them.
What a country it's so different.
Come on, I don't hold it against them. They're not doing meth. Maybe a little. But it's really weed. They just want to smoke their weed. I'm joking about the meth. They just want to smoke pot. Big deal. Big deal. You don't think in the NBA they were smoking pot and doing worse, by the way, before they really got serious about drug testing? No, that's fine. If you have to go to Orlando in August for 2 months, you better be able to smoke weed. I don't know how else you get through that thing.
Right.
I don't hold that against him one single bit.
Needed to deal.
On the baseball players agreeing to come back and play. Let's pick that up on the other side because I thought, didn't Manfred say they were going to have a big offer back to the players today?
He said there was one coming. I don't know if he said for sure today, but there's one coming.
I thought it was today. It's 5:02. It's the close of business. Where's that offer from? Oh, so you say they're taking their time. That's a shocker. In that sport, let's get back to our baseball thoughts right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.